Now, I know a lot of people in the audience write poems, but maybe some of you don't, and people who don't write poems are often curious about, where do you get the idea for a poem? How does it come into your mind? How does it happen? And I like to read this poem because it just happens that I remember precisely what was in my mind when this poem came about. And this is a cautionary story, because I think people who don't write poems think that poets go around thinking profound thoughts all day long. And I want to demonstrate how trivial and desultory the kind of thinking is that can create a poem. I was thinking two disconnected things. One, there just simply popped into my mind the thought that I hadn't seen in newspapers recently a certain kind of eccentricity that I used to read about, and that was about old people who in their great age withdrew into their houses, never appeared, never were seen anymore by their neighbors, were found dead after a long time when they were finally missed, and usually were found in an accumulation of things, whatever. Somebody sent me a clipping once about someone who was found dead in a house filled with rocks. But there were all sorts of these stories, and I thought, what's happened to this kind of eccentricity? It must have died out in the world. It's no longer appearing. At the same time, in my mind, or side by side in my mind, popped the thought, the world is in terrible shape, and I won't go into detail. We all know the detail. But isn't it odd that occasionally there wells up in us, though we know perfectly well in our minds what terrible shape the world is in, there are people starving to death and everything, there wells up in us a feeling of pure joy at being alive in the world as it is. Now that's a kind of eccentricity, I thought to myself. And out of these two eccentricities came this poem. You'll see the two strands interwoven. The poem is called The Miser. I was out last night, the very picture of a sneak, dark and hunched over, breaking and entering again. Why do I do it? And why, when I can afford serious residences, do I keep to this one room? Perhaps if I had not lost track of the difference between the real and the ideal, it would never have happened. I hide here almost entirely now. When I go out, when I creep into those silent houses, I steal newspapers, an armload, no more than I can carry comfortably. Sometimes they are already tied up on the side porch or by the kitchen door. Nobody misses them. They think each other or the maid has carried them out to the street. They say there is something intractable out there. The law, the right to privacy, the world. In the days when my obsession was only a wound-up toy squeaking and jabbering in my chest, I could have believed them. I sit by the window today. There is very little space left now, though I have left corridors wide enough to walk through so I won't lose touch. Holding my latest on my lap, handling them, fondling them, taking in every column, they are becoming more and more precious. My delusion grows and spreads. Lately it seems to me, as I read of murders, wars, bankruptcies, jackpot winnings. The news is written in that perfect style of someone speaking to the one who knows and loves him. Long before they miss me, I think, the room will be perfectly solid. When they break in the door and, unsurprised, hardened to the most bizarre vagaries, begin to carry out my treasure, death's what they'll look for underneath it all. Those fluent, muscled, imaginative men sweating in their innocent coveralls. but I will be out in broad daylight by then, answering, having accepted utterly the heart's conditions. Tell them, I wish them well always, that I've been happy. Thank you, and I told you how it all came about, too.